Hi, my name is Madeline, and I am so thankful for my children's pastor who loved me to Jesus whenever I was in the fifth grade, and for my youth pastors who have since then shown me how to live in who I am in Jesus.
Hey, I'm Adam, and I just want to say that I'm thankful for my friend Joe from high school who invited me out to his youth group, who was persistent and continually invited me, because eventually I did go and I experienced the power of the Holy Spirit and the salvation of Jesus Christ that ultimately led to every amazing thing that's in my life now, from my relationship with God to my church to my family to my friends. Everything can be traced back to that moment, and I am so thankful for somebody who took the time to invite me to church.
Hey, my name is Amanda. My mother was the one who always pointed me to Jesus. She is the one who led me to Jesus at 6 years old, and we were sitting in my bed right before she put us to sleep that night, and I remember it like it was yesterday, her leading me to the Lord. She completely immersed us always in church and all things Jesus, and I truly believe that is why I have the solid foundation that I do today.
My name is Jeremy. The person I'd be most thankful for caring enough to introduce me to Jesus would be my mom. Growing up, she was the piano player at our church, the worship leader. She worked with the youth, and we did lots of fun plays and skits. Even though there was times when I grew up and I was lost and wandering, I'm thankful that she cared enough to build the foundation in me that eventually brought me back.
I am so thankful for my stepfather, Rolando Dorta, better known as Abuelo in our house, Grandpa in Spanish. He is just so amazing that 8 years ago when I was single, living alone, trying to find myself by myself, he introduced me to a better way. He invited me to church, and that's where I began my relationship with Jesus Christ.
Hi, I'm Alexis, and I am so thankful for my great Aunt Sally. She is a strong woman of faith. She loves the Lord. She lives for the Lord. And she is a reverend, and I remember always receiving Bibles and books from her all about Jesus. And when I was 15, she actually led me to the Lord, and I was saved by her over the phone, because literally I've never met this woman, but she has always just poured and poured into me and fought for me, and I am so thankful.
I'm Nicole, and I am so grateful for my grandma, who loved Jesus so much that she fought for me in the faith. She gifted me my first ever study Bible back in high school, and she continues to send me letters and articles in the mail, and she'll put a little note in there to stick them in my Bible for whatever I'm going through during that season. So I'm so grateful for my grandma and everything that she's done for me, the prayers and just her faith that has really helped me along the way.
Hi, I'm Heather, and I just wanted to say that I'm thankful that my mom took the time to share the love of Jesus with me. She was very influential in my life in teaching me the love of God and teaching me what it looked like to have a relationship with Jesus, setting the example of how to have a quiet time and just what it meant to be loved and turning all things over to Jesus. So she was very influential into my life and my relationship with Christ now, and I just am thankful for that.
Chances are, if you're sitting here this morning, you've had someone that's been fighting in the faith for you. You might not even realize that you could actually be sitting beside that person today, not knowing that that person has been contending in the faith for you. Aren't we so thankful for the people that fought in the faith for us so that we could be where we're at today in Christ Jesus? And what God has called us to do. And about this service this morning, what I'm so excited about, this is a message that God has been ministering to me over the past several months. And honestly, it's brought me to a beautiful place of brokenness before Him, of just what it looks like to fight together. Because the problems that we're facing right now is that the enemy's trying to come in and turn us against one another. To turn marriages against one another, families against one another, the church against one another. And I believe by the Spirit of God this morning that the Holy Spirit is going to refresh your spirit today. I believe by the Spirit of God this morning that the Lord's going to increase your vision today for your marriage, for how you parent your children. I believe by the Spirit of God today that you will awaken and arise and take your place in the body of Christ today and recognize what it looks like to fight together for the kingdom of God, because it's important. Oh, I'm Pastor Anna Gresham. I'm so glad you're here. My husband, we pastor Trailhead Church. We started the church 12 years ago now. He's in California having some much needed rest. And I'm thrilled to be with you today. We're actually going to begin in the book of Jude. And then from there, we're going to go to 2 Kings chapter 5. Listen, I want to encourage you to take notes today. I'm going to minister a message, but the Holy Spirit is way smarter than I am. So he's going to minister a word into your heart. And I know many of you, you've been seeking for a word, and God's going to give you one today. So go ahead and open up those spiritual ears and get ready to receive. I want you to follow along with me in the Word of God. Open your notes up, okay? If you didn't bring your Bible, I'm sure you have a Bible app or you've got your notes section. I have so many notes in my notes section that when the Holy Spirit starts speaking, actually, I'm a night owl. I want to be a morning person so badly. And I prayed and I said, God, I want to be a morning person. He said, go to bed earlier. And I was like, oh, I got to go to bed earlier to be a morning person? Well, that's not going to happen. I don't know, you know. But in those evening hours, the Holy Spirit would begin to speak to me, and I'd be like, yeah, I'm going to remember that in the morning. Well, then I'd have to pray in the Holy Ghost to remember what the Holy Spirit told me. So he was like, get your notes out, and when I start speaking, put it in there. So that's my encouragement to you this morning. Don't think, oh, I'll remember that. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. But go ahead and begin to write it out. In Habakkuk chapter 2, he tells us to write out our vision, to make it plain, so he may run who reads it. Before that, he says that when you go to your prayer tower, that God will give you a vision. Then he goes on to say, and he said, guess what? I'm going to course correct you. That means there's a correction that's going to take place when he gives you that vision. So write it down. Then he said, and the just are going to live by their faith. Well, before that, he says, it might tarry, but wait for it because it will surely come. So the Holy Spirit's going to give you a vision this morning for where you're at in your marriage, where you're at in your occupation, where you're at in your calling with your children and parenting. He's going to do it. Write that vision out. Hold on to it by faith. And it's not just any faith. Whenever you read the word faith in the Word of God, if you were to look that up, it means faith in God. It's not just, you know, faith in, you know, in me, or that jelly donuts will always taste good, because they will. No, it's a much greater faith. Aren't you so thankful? It's a much greater faith. It's faith in God. So this morning, as we get into this word of fighting together, God's going to minister to your hearts. And it's not by chance that we started off this year with a message series on honor. It's not by chance that we then went into All In. And then the past couple of weeks, we've really been talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. And then moving in today, oh, mindsets are going to be changed. The Lord gave me two words for this, really last year. He gave them to me last year, and they're continuing forth in my spirit. And the two words are awaken and arise. And many of us have arisen before we've awoken. So you've taken your place, but you're asleep. You're spiritually asleep. You may be serving somewhere this morning, but you feel spiritually asleep. You might have taken your place in your marriage, but you've not awoken to what it looks like to be a godly wife or a godly husband. You've had children, but you've been tired. You've been weary. And you've fallen asleep in what it looks like to truly train your children and take care of them, to nurture them as God's calling you to do. You see, in Mark chapter 5, whenever Jesus is, they're having a good time out there. Whenever Jesus is going to Jairus's house, he says, do not be afraid, only believe. They had just told him that Jairus' daughter was dead. And he said, do not be afraid, only believe. Then he goes on to say she's sleeping. Then when he comes in, he looks at that little girl and he tells her to arise and to get up. Then after that, he has her, you know, she begins to walk around. He says, now she needs to eat something. You know, I've thought about that often. I thought that moment before she could arise, she had to wake up. Here they felt, you know, in the world standards that she was dead. But it's by the Spirit of God. And maybe in your own life, you feel like your marriage has been dead. You feel like you've been dead in your parenting. You feel like you've been dead in your occupation, in your vision, and what God's called you to do. And the word of the Lord is saying, do not be afraid this morning. Only believe. Holy Spirit's going to wake you up today. And then you'll begin to arise and take your place in the body of Christ. And then within that, he says, now you got to eat something. Well, man should not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that comes out of the mouth of God. That then we get into the word of God and we begin to feast at his table. Whoa, he said he will prepare. He's already prepared you a table in the presence of your enemies. That's how good our God is. Praise God. That's what's taking place today. So in fighting together, Jude chapter 3, we're going to get there. Not Jude chapter 3, I'm so sorry. Jude is one chapter. Jude verse 3 and 4, we're going to start off there. It's hard, right, when it's one, like it's one, it's just a book. It's right before Revelation, if you didn't know. Many of you have got kids named Jude. It's a great name. So we see Jude ministering to us here saying, fight, contend, do battle. God is calling the church to become spiritually in shape. Woo, some of y'all are like, well, I'm already tired. The moment I think about doing a diet, I'm like, all right, I'm going to go get a Snickers bar right now. I'm going to store up, you know. I don't do well dieting. It's lifestyle change. This is a lifestyle change. To say I'm going to be spiritually fit. Trailhead Church is a church that will be spiritually fit in Jesus' name. Trailhead Church is a church that will be spiritually fit when it comes to worship and praise and thanksgiving. When it comes to being invested in the things of God. So he tells us, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. That word contend there, whenever you research it out in the Greek, it's a verb. It says with for or a struggle upon appropriately with skill and commitment in opposing whatever is not of faith. And that word faith is God's divine persuasion. So he's telling us to contend for the faith, that we oppose whatever is not of faith. We oppose whatever is not of God's divine persuasion. If God didn't say it, and it's not the truth of his word, it doesn't belong to us. We oppose that in the name of Jesus. He tells us in verse 4, and I'm going to read this in the Amplified. He actually is talking about false teachers. Well, I'm going to read just a little portion. False teachers who crept into the church, turning God's grace into a license to do as you please. Well, isn't that what's been taking place? I like in the Amplified, it says, for certain people have crept in unnoticed, just as if they were sneaking in by a side door. People coming into your life, trying to sow discord. If you continue to read this, we don't have time to go through it all, but I encourage you, read the book of Jude this week. I'm going to give you a few chapters, a few things that I want you to write down and press into. But he talks about here in verse 16, he said, these people are habitual murmurers, griping and complaining, following after their own desires, controlled by passion. They speak arrogantly, pretending admiration and flattering people to gain an advantage. That's not fighting together. That's not what God has called us to do within our marriage or our home in the body of Christ. But he goes on to tell us and to give us instruction of what we're called to do. Of how we're able to contend for the faith. to oppose what is evil, to love and cling to what is good. He says in verse 17, but as for you, beloved, those are Christians that are beloved by God, Christ and one another. He tells us to build ourselves up. That word building up is to build upon or above a foundation, to edify, following a plan with pre-designed, pre-defined specifications. All right, let's just stop there for a moment because this is extremely exciting. If you just let your mind and your heart wrap around it. So I am able to build myself up in my most holy faith by praying in the Holy Spirit. And whenever I do that, I am contending for the faith in the body of Christ. I'm building myself up on the foundation of Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone of my life. And then he will edify me. That's that spiritual refreshing I'm talking about today. Then he's going to give you a plan to follow. That vision that you're going to write down today with a pre-designed, pre-defined specification for your life. Whoa, I receive that. You receive that this morning? Many of us, we've been struggling with some things. Goodness gracious. And I believe the Holy Spirit, man, he's going to just turn things around today. So I'm a preacher's kid, PK. My dad has pastored for over 40 years. And over 34 years ago, he church planted in Huntington, West Virginia, New Life Church. This past year, they just had a big transition. My parents are now full-time evangelists. He always evangelized and ministered out whenever I was being raised. But now he's a full-time evangelist, and my brother is the pastor of the church. So 34 years ago, when God called him to plant a church in Huntington, West Virginia, Huntington was truly struggling as a city. And the Lord told him, you're going to have a full gospel, word of faith church, and you're going to minister in the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, God just gave him a beautiful vision for that city. He comes in. He starts in the Civic Arena, downtown Huntington. His offices were across the street. I have some memories, little blips of it. I believe I escaped Children's Church one time because the circus was in town, and the circus was in another part of the Civic Arena, and I was bound and determined to meet a clown. So they caught me. I have a memory of I tied my shoestrings to like the chair on the front row, all of my shoestrings with like 20 knots during praise and worship, and my mom had to find someone to get scissors to cut me out of the chair. I have that memory as well. It was a great start in my Christian walk there at New Life Church. So apparently there were a group of pastors that were unhappy about my dad coming into the area. They decided to show up at his office to plan a meeting to run him out of town. There's a pastor in that area that caught wind of that meeting. Pastor Farley, who was an established, mighty man of God. There was a couple from his church that they had been struggling, living in sin. They had left his church, went to New Life, got saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, got married, their life got turned around. Well, he caught wind of this meeting. He showed up before anyone else did. My dad said he stood up and didn't give those men a chance to say a thing. He stood up and began to contend for the faith and said, we're so thankful that Pastor Huffman is here. And look at what the Lord has already done. And we're going to support him and nobody better ever say anything else. Pastor Farley passed away a couple weeks ago in his early 90s. His children, he and my dad had a beautiful friendship and relationship for the city. After that, over these past 34 years, his children were going through his papers and they found a thank you note from 34 years ago that my dad had sent him after that. They actually asked my father to to officiate at the gravesite of his funeral. And I think about this man who was willing to stand up in all reality, a group of Pharisees that were so stuck in dead religion to say, we're going to come in and rally around. Because when a church is planted that God is called to plant, it will revitalize the city. When you are planted in your marriage and God has put you together, you're going to revitalize your family. You're going to revitalize. You got a generation you're raising up for the kingdom of God. When you're planted in your God-given place, guess what's going to take place? You will grow. This is what this looks like. I think about my own parents and fighting for me. I remember I was in the sixth grade. We had about 800 people in the sanctuary at that time. I'm on the very back row. And I am talking up a storm. All of a sudden, the service got real quiet. And I'm looking around like, why is it so quiet? And I look up. And my dad said, little girl, you're going to get it when you get home. Oh, I love my dad, but he was scary. You know, he was fighting for me. Parents, don't allow the world to come in and say that's not fighting for your children. You're called to train your children. Training hurts. Have you ever decided to train your body for something? That first week, it hurts. Then you feel good for a day or two. Then you keep going and it hurts again. And you don't see fruit of your labor for weeks at a time. This is what it looks like while we're training our children. My dad loved me enough. My dad would call out other people's teenagers during service. You think that's harsh. You know what he was doing? He was loving them enough to say, hey, wake up in Jesus' name. You know, I read every one of my children's text messages. I'm contending for them. We've set rules and regulations. We have things in order at our household. A few weeks ago, things had gotten a little rough, and I was having a tough parenting week. Anybody ever been there? No? And we have four children, our oldest, 14 and a half. Everyone's getting ready to age up in the month of May. So 11, they'll be 12, 9 to be 10, and then our last little girl, Carly, she will be 8 in September. Whew. So I was having one of those days. I was waiting. I had about an hour until the kids were getting off the school bus. And I was in there folding laundry, of course. I have four kids. It's just all day long. So I had worship music on. And, man, I began to worship the Lord. And I thought, I'm just going to stand up right here and begin to praise God. And then I began to pray in the Spirit. And I began to speak things out over my children. And then the Holy Ghost boldness rose up on the inside of me. And he said, I want you to go into their rooms. And I want you to lay your hands on their pillows. And I want you to begin to prophesy into their lives. You see, in Acts chapter 2, it says that your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. That's speaking the word of God out over your home and your family. I begin to pray and speak life into them. This is contending for our children, contending in the faith in who God is for our family. Man, the peace of God just washed all over me. Oh, and I was so thankful. God's so good in those precious moments where we say, I'm going to become spiritually fit. God, I'm going to contend and do what you've called me to do. So that leads me to 2 Kings chapter 5. Actually, I was looking up just different women in the Bible and studying out several things. And I was in the Old Testament. I thought, I'm just going to look up and see all these. I want to see every woman who's in the Old Testament. So I'm scrolling through. And I see two little words, and it said, little maid. I read those two words and began to weep. And it was like the Holy Spirit just hit me with a ton of bricks. And I know the story of Naaman. I love this story. I love the story of God's healing power and what he's done. But I had never truly just focused on this little serving girl in 2 Kings chapter 5. So I want you to turn there. This is the other chapter I would like for you to read this week. 2 Kings chapter 5. We're going to hit a few scriptures here. And the Holy Spirit's going to bring out some truths. He's given me three specific things that are not difficult but are beautiful. And I love, you know, we've been trying to overcomplicate church for so long. And it's not complicated. You know, you don't have to be a brain surgeon to live for Jesus. Aren't we thankful? Right? And God, the Holy Spirit, he will teach you all things. 2 Kings chapter 5. Here we go. Let's start here in verse 1. So Naaman, the commander of the army of the king of Syria. Let's talk about that real quick. Naaman is a commander of the army, this king of Syria. And he was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master. Because of him, the Lord had given victory to Syria, and he was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. So here's this man who's a mighty man. He's a distinguished man. You know, he's a wealthy man. People honor and respect him. know, the Syrian army, his commander, who he's working with. These people are not serving the Lord. Okay. This is not a place where he's at, where he is in the presence of God. Even though he's a great man and he's got beautiful, just, you know, wonderful qualities and characters about himself, he's not under a man of God. So it goes on to say, and the Syrians had gone out on raids, and they brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel, and she waited on Naaman's wife, and that's the little maid. Then she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, "Thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel." This king of Syria, he actually goes and he gets all of these gifts together. He gets a letter together to send it into the king of Israel, basically saying, "Hey, whatever you can do, I'm going to bless you. I want you to heal, this great commander of mine. I want you to heal him if you can." And then we'll continue reading the story here in just a second. But I want us to take a moment here, and I want us to think about this little maid. Here she was taken captive. The very people who took her captive, she's now serving his wife. And in her place of captivity, she chooses to contend for the faith of what she knows and what she believes, and stands up with a voice of boldness to say, "I know who can heal your husband." So my first place to begin is that everyone needs Jesus. Everyone needs Jesus. Naaman, with all of his clout, with every accolade, every honor, the poorest of poor would not have traded skins with him at that day. It doesn't matter where you're at in life. Everyone needs Jesus. If you want to make it personal, and in my prayer time this morning, the Lord said, have him make it personal. Write in your notes, "I need Jesus." Often we look at everyone else. Yeah, they need Jesus. No, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I look at these two people with totally different lives. And in this moment, just think of that spirit of faith that rose up inside of this little maid, and how God used this serving girl to minister a word in season to Naaman, to fight for his healing. It doesn't matter what you think about yourself, who you are, where you're at. Many of us, we battle feeling like a failure often. We go through these cycles of just feeling defeated, or you're in a place of captivity, and you're like, "God, how can you use me?" And he's simply just wanting you to recognize that everyone needs Jesus. And that's exactly where we need to find ourselves today in order to fight for one another and to fight for the things of God. And then that moves me into this, is that you have something to give. In your notes, right? "I have something to give." You have something to give to someone today. If you continue reading on, Naaman goes in. The king of Israel is panicky because he's like, "I can't heal this guy." So then Elisha, God's prophet, catches wind of what's going on. He sends his servant out, Gehazi, and gives Naaman instruction. Tells him to dip 7 times in the dirty Jordan River. Naaman is like, "I'm not gonna do it." What I love so much about this message is that he had brought servants along with him. He heeds the voice of his servants again, and they say, "You've done all of these difficult things. Can't you just go in and dip into this Jordan River 7 times? And he says, "You know what? I can." God, once again, uses the lowliest of low to come in and minister a word in season to a man who needed Jesus. In that position of understanding, they had something to give. You know, Naaman said, "Can't he just, I thought he was going to come out here and wave his hand over me and do like a hibbity-bibbity, right? Gosh, I thought it was going to be much easier than this." This past week, I am worshiping to the God of Revival, that song that we sang this morning. And I didn't even know they were going to be singing it. I was super excited. I was like, "God, you did that for me." So I go outside, I've got my earbuds in, and then I'm going to power walk around my neighborhood. If I don't run, I power walk. My husband one time, he drove up behind me while I was power walking, and he said, "You look crazy." I'm pretty sure everyone around this neighborhood is looking out their window like, "What is she doing?" I'm like, "I'm training for the power walking Olympics." All right? So I mean business when I'm out there. I've got my worship music on. You know, I'm just, it's me and Jesus, and we're having a great time, all right? So I go out. I have one letter to put in the mail, and we got a new mail lady that day. So, you know, we just give her my letter, and then she moves on. So I begin to worship the Lord. And this song, I just have it on repeat. You guys, I am praying in the Holy Ghost so loud, just worship. I'm having the best time in the presence of God. To the point where boldness rose up on the inside of me, and I was like, "God, someone's going to run out of their house, and I'm going to tell them about Jesus." You know, like, I mean, it's just, it's getting intense. You guys know I'm pretty intense anyway. So I come around to the section where we have townhomes in our neighborhood, and I see that mail lady again, and she's putting all the mail in all the different boxes that belong to the townhomes. So I get about 20, 30 feet past her. At that point, I had worn the wrong socks with my shoes, and I had blister rubbing on the back of each heel, which, you know, is terrible, right? And then I thought, oh, my gosh, I'm like 600 yards from home. I'm ready to take the sweatshirt off. And the Holy Spirit says, "You have a word for her." And I go, "I do?" He goes, "Oh, yeah. Everything you've been receiving right now, you're going to give to her. Freely as you have received, freely you shall give." So I stop. I take a moment. I adjust my socks. You know, like, we have these moments when God will speak to us. And there's a point where you can turn the other way. We each have that blip, that little moment. I took that moment. I adjust my socks. I took my sweatshirt off, tied around my waist. And he said, "You have to." So I power walked back over. I thought, well, if I'm going to walk 30 feet, I'm going to power walk to her, you know? Like, we're going to make this thing count. So I get over to her, and I stop, and I say, "Excuse me." And I'm already getting ready to cry. You know, just the presence of God, it was beautiful. I said, "I've been having the best time with Jesus, and he told me to share it with you." And she teared up. And the Lord gave me a word for her, and she said, "I was just thinking about that this morning. Thank you. Thank you." And we began to worship God together. And I said, "Can I pray with you?" And she said, "Yes." And so she's just this lovely woman. I lay my hands on her. And, you know, this is kind of funny. I'll show you this picture in a second. Don't put it up yet because it's going to make you laugh. And I want to get to this part first. But I begin to pray and just speak vision into her and just to begin to encourage her. But it's funny. You guys know I love to pray. I was so excited. I was praying, "Lord, you're going to meet every need." But I kept saying, "You're going to need every need." And I said it. I was like, "You're going to need every need. You're going to need it. You're going to meet every need." You know, I want you to put that meme up. I saw this past week. And often, I know, right? Often we feel this way. And even while I was praying, I was like, oh my gosh, I just said need every need, you know? You can't ruin what God's doing. Don't give yourself so much, you know, like you have all that power. You're so focused on your own weaknesses. You're so focused on your own inability. I had a moment where I was like, oh my gosh, I just said need every need. It didn't matter. She didn't care because the Holy Spirit was doing a work. And you know what? It's okay if God's giving you an encouragement, a word, something to do, and you're like, God loves you. And it doesn't matter. It's the Spirit of God, the presence of God, the power of God at work on the inside of you doing this. You have something to give. Just like that little serving girl, the little maid, just like Naaman's servants. And out of this, you see Naaman turn his heart to the Lord. He tries to give Elisha money, and Elisha says, no, you're not paying me for this. Then Naaman says, well, give me 2 truckloads of your dirt. And you're like, what does that mean? It was holy ground. He said, when I go back and when I go in with my commander and we go into and he wants to worship the wrong God, he goes, I know that I've got holy ground with me and that I'm going to worship the one true God. That's what this looks like. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 7, I love this scripture. It says, you ran well, now who hindered you from obeying the truth? You're in this place and God wants to use you. It's good to know your weaknesses. We should know what they are. I know mine. I am a talker and I interrupt people. My husband corrects me all the time. And he just interrupted that person like 20 times. I know, I'm super excited. I don't think they cared. He was like, no, okay. You pray over these weaknesses. Because you pray over them, but you don't focus on them. Within your marriage, you have something to give in your marriage. You see, this is where that course correction comes in. A few years ago, it's been about 8.5, 9 years ago, Joshua and I were in a difficult place just in ministry, and we were complaining a good bit at home. It was unhealthy. I'm so thankful for course correction from the Holy Spirit. We were stunting our growth. We had to come together. We repented before God. You see, out of repentance comes refreshing. We came together and repented for that critical complaining spirit. And then we said, no more. We made a decree that we would not say anything negative or complain about anything, but we would only get in and speak life and speak the word of God into that situation. You know what came out of that? That year, we saw a growth of like over 100 people within like a 6-month period of time. It was supernatural increase in this church body. Whenever you come in to the presence of God and you have spiritual ears to hear in your marriage and you allow the Holy Spirit to correct you if you've been critical, many of you, you're fighting against your spouse when God's called you in unity, in one accord, to come together to lift one another up. And you need to stop with the critical spirit. Call it out for what it is today. With your children, you've been combating against your children and everything is negative, negative, negive. Go have an ice cream party this evening. Love on them. Show them what it looks like to have fun in Jesus. We're walking around heavy. So heavy. When God has called us to come and fight together and to lift up his name. I want to take us to Acts chapter 2. Real quick, and this goes into the third thing, is that God is calling us to simply obey his voice. Maybe put in your notes, I will obey. When all of my children were in the 2- and 3-year-old stage, that was their faith confession every night that I would make them say before bed. I will obey. And I'd say it like super exciting, like it was awesome, you know? And I remember we'd have rough days, and it would be like, I will, you know, like they didn't want to do it. But I was like, oh, well, we're going to say it, okay? You will obey. You know, we're God's children. Oh, I'm going to go some real quick. The blind leading the blind fall into ditches, right? Read that this morning, Luke chapter 6, I believe. You can't lead your children somewhere that you're not willing to go. Here you are just opening up your home to any old nasty spirit, watching things you should not be watching, doing things you should not be doing, saying things you should not be doing. And you're like, well, my children aren't allowed to do that. You yourself are a child of God. In Galatians chapter 5, oh, we have to go there. In Galatians chapter 5, when he talks about you ran well and who hindered you from obeying the truth, he goes on to say, I put it in here. Let me find it. It's in my notes. Bum, 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 bum. Okay. In Galatians 5, that's where we go into the fruit of the Spirit, you know. In verse 16, he says, this is in the Passion Translation, which I'm really digging right now. So if you're in your Bible app, go to TPT when you look up different translations. As you yield freely and fully to the dynamic life and power of the Holy Spirit, you will abandon the cravings of your self-life. For your self-life craves the things that offend the Holy Spirit and hinder him from living free within you. And the Holy Spirit's intense cravings hinder your old self-life from dominating you. So then the two are incompatible, and conflicting forces within you are your self-life of the flesh and the new creation life of the spirit. That life of the flesh and the life of the spirit are constantly like this, okay? That's why he tells us to put off the old man, to put on the new man, and that you've become a new life in Christ Jesus. So you need to know, many of you, you are continually in that sleepy, blind place because you simply don't know. And he says, but when you are brought into the full freedom of the spirit of grace, you will no longer be living under the domination of the law, but soaring above it. Now, here are the cravings, and I'm supposed to call them out. I know I am. The cravings, this is the Holy Spirit. This is the Word of God. I'm just reading the Word of God. The cravings of the self-life are obvious. Sexual immorality, lustful thoughts, pornography, chasing after things instead of God, manipulating others, hatred of those who get in your way, senseless arguments, resentment when others are favored, temper tantrums. I'll just park it right there for a second. Angry quarrels, only thinking of yourself, being in love with your own opinions. That's why I was supposed to read this. It goes into this point. Being envious of the blessings of others, murder, uncontrolled addictions, wild parties, and other similar behavior. But when he goes into the freedom of who you are in the Spirit, he says that the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit is joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness in action, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart, and strength of spirit. I will obey your voice, O God. Simply obey the voice of God. Elisha's servant, Gehazi, he was envious of what had taken place. He went after Naaman. He lied, took a portion for himself, came back, and Elisha said, my heart was actually with you. I knew what you were doing. He lied to Elisha. Do you know what took place? His disobedience, because of his disobedience, he was judged. And he became a leper himself and his family. If you do not correct and allow the Holy Spirit to course correct these areas that you have allowed to come into your life, pornography, sin, those addictions, where the Holy Spirit wants to set you free, and he can and he will because he loves you, but your marriage will be judged. Oh, it's hard, it's hard. But you can't keep doing the same old thing and expect the same results. We have to forgive. We get to forgive because Christ forgave us. In Acts chapter 2, we see a life of unity and submission. It's on that beautiful day of Pentecost when they came together in one accord. We see the Holy Spirit just transform their lives. We see a church that's flourishing, that's fighting together. And within this, I'd like the worship team to go ahead and make your way. In Acts chapter 2, verse 46 through 47, he talks about being in one accord. That one accord is with one mind, having the same desire, the same passion, people who share like precious faith, creating a God-produced unity between them, receiving the same revelation of his word. He says when they came together in that place of one accord, that there was gladness. That word gladness is exuberant joy, intense joy. Are you experiencing an intense joy in your life? He said, how did it take place? He said that they were living in simplicity. You know, these people were sharing, they were opening their homes. They were praying together. They were pressing into the things of God. Acts chapter 2 is the other chapter I'd like for you to read this week. That word simplicity means without rocks, the opposite of stony ground, or smoothness, without hardness or stumbling blocks. They allowed the Holy Spirit to take the stumbling blocks out.